excited. Body, mind, and spirit. This is Pat Kennedy, 94.9 FM, our favorite show, CHRW Radio. You can get on chrwradio.com/listen and tune into the show or change that slash to an archive and check out some of the amazing individuals that we bring in our community and beyond to give you the hard facts. And this isn't just about personal opinion. This is about science. This is about bringing factual information. Hard facts. And this isn't just about personal opinion. This is about science. This is about bringing factual in going on in our community, and we want to bring that to you. And don't forget, this is what we believe in, the freedom to choose and the freedom to change, but we want you to make an informed decision. And CHRW Radio plays a role in that, particularly body, mind, and spirit, when we're talking medical issues, when we're talking that mainstream train of thought and that out-of-the-box natural preventative train of thought. We want to bring you the good so that you can make your own personal choice without fear and without judgment. These are key points. We're also very busy, like I said, to roll up your sleeves and learn what you're going to learn today by doing it on your own. That's going to not move you forward as quickly as you need to be, because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of slipping through the cracks or not for what we have to deal with daily with that mainstream kind of mentality. And being in London, being the voodoo nurse for over 20 years, I know what it's like to be out of the box. And it's a very conservative environment. So let's have the respect for everything that's going on and everyone involved in whatever their purpose is. And let's lay it all out for our community. Let's have a debate. And what we're talking about today, yes, again, folks, is fluoride. It isn't a buried topic. It isn't proven in a slam dunk for the federal government or the individuals that you've heard on the radio. Today I have as my co-host Pam Colleen. Let's put it this way. I call her an investigative reporter. She's a genius with the facts. She's a practitioner. She's an activist. And she's got the goods. And she's been at the helm with a number of other amazing individuals for this fluoride debate, which never occurred in London. Drive me crazy. What is so wrong with laying out the facts instead of behind closed door politics? So, Pam, welcome as my co-host today.
Thanks so much for having me here, Pat.
Oh, listen, we need to know, because there are updates. We've got some new information that has to get out there. And we are hoping to have the expert from Quebec, Dr. Gilles Parent. He's a naturopathic doctor and co-author of Fluoridation, Autopsy of a Scientific Error. He's part of a coalition in the province of Quebec that's led to the removal of fluoride across the province to less than 3% of the population. Now, that speaks volumes about the magnitude of who that gentleman is, and we hope to get him on. Also, our buddy, Dr. Paul Conant, who's been on the show with you before, but we want him to be loud and clear about the updates and the things that have been disclosed and discovered most recently. Mm-hmm. So, Pam, for our listeners that aren't privy to what happened before, mm-hmm. or heard somewhere along the way where there was a bit of controversy going on regarding fluoride in our beautiful London, Ontario, can you just give us the facts of what's happened up to this point in time before we start with the update?
Well, essentially, there's been some activists working on the fluoride issue off and on for about 10 years here in London, Ontario. They've been actively trying to remove fluoride from our city water. And things have really been seeming up lately since I've been on the radio more talking about this issue. And with Paul Conant's presence here in London, he came and did a big talk on fluoride back on March the 2nd, where we had standing room only. People were turned away at the door. There was just no room for people at the Wolf Hall at the Central Library when he came to town. And so essentially, you know, Dr. Conant was gracious enough to offer to debate our health officials here in London. And all of them ignored him. All of them turned their back on the potential for a debate. They did not want to debate Dr. Conant on the safety and efficacy issues surrounding fluoride. He's He's the co-author of the book, The Case Against Fluoride. He's the executive director of the Fluoride Action Network, and he has done his research. He has been actively researching as a scientist fluoride for many, many years now, and he has determined that fluoride is neither safe nor effective, and on top of that, it's not even ethical because we're basically being forced medication down our throats.
This is a brutal reality, and I'm really excited to say we have connected with Dr. Gilles Parent. Are you on the line?
Yes.
Oh, so wonderful. I'm thrilled, and we want Londoners to know straight from the horse's mouth how you made it happen in Quebec. What can we expect here that should be our journey and reception for this this movement?
I think we have to educate the population on the toxicity and the non-efficiency of the fluoride added to the water. So good morning, all the listeners. I'll be happy to talk about it. So Health Canada have come out with a report called the Guideline for Canadian Drinking Water Quality on Fluoridation. And Health Canada claimed that this report had been prepared by a very qualified team of experts on fluoride. And this, we disagree with that. The expert committee of health on fluoride in drinking water is not a well-balanced committee capable to produce a valid report on the safety and efficiency of fluoridation. For example, the expert committee is composed with six supposedly qualified experts on fluoridation, while three of these experts have never published any scientific studies on fluoride in a scientific, medical, or dental journal. So three out of the six have never published anything on fluoridation or on fluoride. The expert committee was composed with four dentists, one pharmacist with a specialty in toxicology, and one medical doctor and toxicologist. You don't form an expert committee to evaluate the safety on health measure with only four dentists that has only a scope of practice on the teeth or in the mouth. And only two had a qualification beside being a dentist. They were a toxicologist and medical doctor. The six scientists that were working on that was Dr. Christopher Clark. He's a dentist from the University of British Columbia. There was Dr. Stéphane Lévy from the Iowa College of Dentistry. There was Jayant Kumar. He's from the New York State Department of Health. There's Dr. Michelle Levy, again, another dentist from the Quebec National Institute. And the two others were a Dr. Robert Tardif. He's a PhD from the University of Montreal. He's a pharmacist. And the other one is a medical physician and toxicologist, Dr. Albert Nantel. Dr. Michelle Levy, and Dr. Robert Tardif are the three specialists that never published any scientific article or scientific studies on fluoride. So they're not very qualified to talk about that subject.
So in a nutshell, Gilles, then, what you're saying is that the panel should have been composed of people who had far greater in-depth knowledge of fluoridation and its potential for toxicity in the human body.
Exactly.
So what type of people should have been chosen for this panel?
On the panel, we should have selected, beside dentists, more physicians, more specialists in toxicology, nephrologist, endocrinologist, neurotoxicologist, embryo toxicologist to study what's the effect on embryo, cytotoxicologist, so we'll know if the fluoride is a cancer-producing substance and something like that. We would need biochemists to know how everything is metabolized in the body and how it's affecting the body and the type of product. We would need pharmacists. We also would need some people which are specialists on the environment, because fluoride, we add that to the water, so we throw that back into the environment. We need some people that were well-qualified in the environment. We would need statisticians. We would need risk evaluators. We would need constitutional lawyers, because we're adding a medication to the water without the patient consent, and this is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
We would need a neurochemist. We would need neurologist, neonatologist, so see the effect of fluoride on young babies. And we would need people that are specialists on the blood effect, because in India, where the fluoride is, I could say, at 2 or 3 parts per million, kids develop problem of anemia. So we would need that, all that type of scientists to really evaluate the all the fluoride substances that are used for fluoridation and their toxicity, because the natural fluoride in the water may not react the same way as the chemical they're adding in the water, which has never been tested for toxicology, which is very serious.
But Dr. Perrant, that is very disturbing to me, because I'm not and have not been privy to all of the information. I've been as current as possible. And to from a grassroots level, we put all our faith in these committees. Who chose this committee? Who has the responsibility? Can you shed some light on that?
We're not too sure who exactly I've selected, but we suspect that the dental, chief dental of Canada, dentist in chief, I don't know, of Canada, Dr. Cooney, we suspect that he has selected those specialists. And while 4 of the specialists are Canadian, 2 are American, why not 6 Canadian? We would certainly would have some specialists in Canada that would be able to defend that. If they cannot find specialists on fluoridation in Canada, is because the subject have not been well studied by Canadian. So it's not a well serious health measure studied completely with all the different impact on the health in the environment.
But there are some Canadians who are qualified that were not chosen for this committee. Maybe you could talk a little bit about their qualifications.
Right, like Dr. R.D. Lineback from the University of Toronto. He was on the scientific committee of the National Research Council in the States that have came out with the report in 2006. So why didn't they choose him? It's because they have selected people that were active fluoride defender. All those researchers have been promoting fluoridation. And in our own countries, like Dr. Levy in the States and Dr. Kumar, they all always have been publishing studies for fluoridation. Well, for example, Dr. Stéphane Levy have published a research with Dr. Rahman, which shows that there's no precise concentration that is very effective to prevent dental a cavity. And at the level that is recommended for fluoridation, at around 1 part per million, they have shown that there was a very high level of dental fluorosis, which is the first symptom of intoxication by fluoride. If it caused damage to the teeth, it will cause damage to the bone. If it caused damage to the bone, it probably also caused damage to the thyroid gland. It will cause damage to the brain. It will cause damage to the fetus. It might cause cancer. I've been working with Dr. Morin. He's a PhD, a former researcher from the public, from the University of Laval in Quebec. And he have shown with Dr. Dean Burke that fluoridation was increasing the incidence of cancer in municipality, huge municipality that had fluoridation for many years.
Well, it seems to me like the precautionary principle should have been applied from the get-go with regards to fluoridation in our city water. I mean, if there's any question whatsoever that there can be any health risks associated with fluoride, a responsible government, a responsible committee would say, let's leave it out. That's the precautionary principle.
Pam, how much is in our water in London so our listeners can get current with that if they're not aware?
I think it's at 0.7 parts per million right now. Correct?
Right, mm-hmm. Correct. And in Quebec, this is the same concentration, 0.7 part per million. In Toronto, it's 0.6 part per million.
Okay. And now, what you're saying is Dr. Hardy Lineback and Dr. Morin have had hands-on research with regards to fluoride, and have both, as experts and scientists, have their doubts about the safety and efficacy of this product.
Right. And Dr. Morin was the former researcher for the Ministry of Environment in Quebec. They came out with what they call the Red Book on fluoridation. It was called Fluoride Fluoridation in the Environment, and they have shown in that report that fluoridation was causing damage to the health of human being, animal, farm animal, and it was also causing damage to the environment. Mm-hmm. So they have reviewed all the literature. We have Dr. Morin have published with Dr. Burke many publications that shows that fluoride is causing cancer. So it's very serious. And the worst with, for example, with Dr. Levy, he has claimed that there was 27,000 studies supporting fluoridation, that dental fluorosis was a rare side effect, that fluoride is an essential nutrient. Well, Health Canada says it's not an essential nutrient. And the worst, there's never been toxicology tests. We have done many petitions to Health Canada and also to the Ministry of Health in Quebec, and they were not able to support one study of toxicology. They were not even able to cite one study of toxicology on those substances.
That's brutal. Dr. Perron, can you tell the listeners, please, what is fluoride? What is it? What is it composed of?
The fluoride they're adding to the water is three types. There's three compounds. There's sodium fluoride, which most of the studies have been done on. But sodium fluoride is not a natural compound. It's a byproduct of the aluminum and the uranium production. So it's the waste product, a chemical from the industry. The most cities now are using the fluorosilicate, fluorosilicic acid, and fluorosilicic acid is the waste product, the byproduct of the chemical phosphate fertilizer producer. So it's a very, very reactive, very toxic. It's slightly less toxic than arsenic, but it's more toxic than lead. So that's what we're adding to water. The waste product, which is not purified, is not a quality, pharmaceutical quality. It's not in a food-grade product. It's an industrial waste product, which is so toxic that you cannot send it in the air because it will cause pollution in the air. You cannot dump it in the river because it's a pollutant. But if you put it in the water of a city, then it seems to be okay. And there's no scientific basis to believe that it will be okay to add it to the water because it's never been tested for toxicology. And you don't add a product to water, especially if you want to treat people with that substance, without toxicology tests.
Well, that's unethical.
Well, and Health Canada, as you were saying, it really hasn't done any research on its own to determine the safety and efficacy of this product.
Right. That's what the Health Canada told us. We have not tested the product as a drug. We didn't test the product as a natural health product. We didn't test the product, but we claim it's a food nutrient or a food nutrient that we could add to the food. But they never tested as a food nutrient. They're never tested as a food additive. And they never tested as a water chemical for water treatment, even if it's not aimed to treat the water. It's aimed to treat the people.
Well, these are shocking facts everyone should know. Dr. Perron, how did you establish 97% effect in becoming fluoride-free in Quebec? What can we do?
What we did in Quebec up here, it's to get in every city where fluoridation was debated, we would go to the city and present all the scientific facts to the city. But beside that, now we're acting on the legal level, so we send them a notice, a legal notice, that if they add to the water, they could be sued for adding a toxic substance to the water that have not been tested, that have not been proven safe. And this is an illegal thing. The I could say the manufacturer have the duty to test and have the toxicology test done on these chemical. Any chemical that has supposed to be added to the water have to be tested on toxicology ground, and they never have been. And this is something which is a sham or a tricky something. And everybody sends the responsibility to the other, but no one does the job, and everybody claims it's safe without those toxicology tests, which is impossible on the scientific level.
Right. I mean, I think in science it's called the cascade effect. When something gets repeated over and over and over again, people end up believing it. And the mantra within public health today is that fluoride is safe and effective. And this is all they keep repeating. And they have been repeating this now for several decades. But unfortunately, it's not true. And even worse than that, I mean, they're putting a toxic substance in the water and not being accountable for it whatsoever.
What about the politicians that we put in office? What about those that represent community at large and the people here, for example, in London, Ontario? Are our politicians informed?
Well, no, they're not. They fall onto these reviews. This is why this Health Canada review and what Dr. Perron and Dr. Conard are doing is so important, is because the local officials who make the decisions around fluoridating our city water are going to fall to this review and look to it as gospel when there are so many flaws. It's a shoddy report, obviously, by what Dr. Perron is saying. And, you know, there's clearly some conflicts of interest behind it. It basically was published as a self-fulfilling prophecy to continue this mantra that fluoride is safe and effective, and they just won't let go. They're like a pit bull holding onto a bone. They just will not let go of this concept.
But then they get exhausted. There's going to be, I really believe in the power of the people and the ability for each individual to be adequately informed. Can you throw out an email, a website or something right now, Pam, for people to tap into some of this information?
Well, I think one of the best websites is fluoridealert.org, and we'll have Dr. Conard on shortly. And Gilles, I'm not sure, do you have a website on this or a Facebook page?
But in Quebec, we have a site, but this will be mostly in French, so it might not be that useful.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of Facebook pages. Fluoride Free London is one of them, and I know that they have an email. It's called fluoridefreelondon@gmail.com. So if people want to pursue and get involved with this subject locally, there are contacts to be made.
Yeah. So they could read whether Dr. Connett and a big book on fluoridation that would be very good.
Absolutely.
Or book called Fluoridation, Autopsy of a Scientific Error, so that he would learn much more about all the scientific impact on health and on cancer. We have been doing many trials in the States. Three of the trials have been conducted with one of our co-authors, Mr. Graham. And they have shown in the court that fluoridation was toxic and it was causing an increase of cancer. It was causing mutagenic effect. It was causing birth defect and so forth. So this has been a theory. On the Health Canada, the problem is also there is a conflict of interest in the researcher. Four of the researchers are governmentally paid for their research or publication on fluoridation. So they're linked directly as a government employee in their job, so they cannot go against their employer, which has a politic for fluoridation, so otherwise they would lose their job. And two other ones are directly dependent on subsidies to do research on fluoridation. So if they would go against fluoridation, they would lose the subsidy and they would have no more money to do research. So they have a serious problem of conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
When you choose a team of researcher for a report, this team have to be so well qualified, which they're not, and also they have to be seriously independent. They don't have to have a link that will make them lose their job if they're putting a position which would be going against the government politic.
I think on the surface, the average person would look at these six individuals and think they were highly qualified.
Absolutely.
I mean, they have letters beside their names. They wear white jackets. They must be qualified.
But
really, it's a smokescreen, isn't it?
It's a smokescreen. Four dentists, they have the majority in the committee, so they're the ones that decide the position. Dentists are limited in the scope of the practice to the mouth, especially to the teeth. They have no scientific ground on toxicology or so little that they cannot be called expert on health. They just could be expert on dental health, which is very limited. The majority of the committee were dentists. It's not a well-balanced committee capable of producing a report that is valid on the safety and efficiency of fluoridation.
Now,
and because they're all linked with one way or the other, they're not independent, and a report that's not independent is not a valid report.
Well, and they're cherry-picking their data.
This is something that's bogus.
Just such an epidemic in the scientific community right now where, let's create a little comparison here. I mean, Vioxx, Merck, the company that produced Vioxx, where unfortunately 60,000 people died from taking that drug, Merck decided to cherry-pick their data. And they said that people who were dying of heart attacks or strokes while they were on the trials, they believed that this data was irrelevant. And because they believed that those outcomes were irrelevant, unfortunately, 60,000 people died. Now we have Health Canada cherry-picking data. And, of course, some of the connections between fluoride include things like osteosarcoma or bone cancer, which is what Terry Fox died from. We also see connections between fluoride and thyroid problems, fluoride and lowered IQ, and all of these things. And our Health Canada, our experts, believe that these issues are irrelevant, obviously.
Well, listen, to our listeners out there, do you get the magnitude of this? This is huge. We need to get our heads out of the sand. And it isn't just about how you feel, how you survived fluoride since you were a child. How about breaking the cycle for our children? We will be getting more into how it's affecting the brain, the children, their IQs, amongst other things. Dr. Perron, thank you so much for participating today and planting some seeds that we're going to run with here in London, Ontario.
I'm very pleased.
Thank you so much, Dr.
People
Perron.
Have to get informed, and otherwise they could also ask for requests of information to the government or to their agency, ask them the documents on which they're based their belief. And if they cannot supply it, then you could be able to sue them for malpractice or and qualify.
Well, listen, we are going to have a clear call to action most definitely at the end of the show. We're going to take a short break. Body, mind, and spirit, CHRW, get ready for the second half.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, are you ready? This is serious, Londoners, and anyone listening today. This is important. We can't be complacent. We can't allow our hands to be tied and to be put in a position where our power is removed. We want you to have the freedom to choose. We want the community to be represented. And we are thrilled in the second half of Body, Mind, Spirit to have Dr. Paul Connett, Executive Director of the Fluoride Action Network, on. And he is going to rock your world with more facts. Dr. Connett, are you there?
I am indeed, Pat.
Yay. Wonderful to have you back on the show.
Happy to be here at a very important moment, I think, in London's history.
I believe so. And I said to Pam earlier, I know there's been a course of action up to this point in time, but now it's like D-Day. This is the last straw. It's an absolute bogus report, and it's just cherry-picked and unethical. And what are your thoughts? Can you give us your thoughts on when this report came out?
Yes. Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. This report from Health Canada is totally bogus. It was a complete setup job, a handpicked panel of people that they knew would come back with a pro-fluoridation position and completely ignored the input from scientists like myself, Dr. Kathleen Thiessen, and others who dutifully submitted their comments on the draft that came out in 2009. Now, you know this. Pam Colleen knows this. Giles' parent knows this. I know this. We've written books upon this subject. The unfortunate thing is that the average Canadian, the average citizen of London, Ontario, does not know this. They rather naively trust the words from Health Canada and the words from their local
health officials,
doctors,
yeah.
And what are they called, MOHs, Medical Officer of Health. They're not realizing that these people are not reading the primary literature. They're just parroting what they're told by this body on high, this priesthood for public health in Canada, the Health Canada. Now, for some things, Health Canada probably does a good job. But on fluoridation, they're an out-and-out right propagandist machine. And they, unfortunately, they have this whole network of people throughout the Canada who faithfully reproduce and parrot what the priesthood says. Now, as I say, most people in Canada are not aware of this. Most people in London, Ontario are not aware of this. And so they fall easy victim to the MOHs and the Health Canada when this document is waved in their face.
Well, they
and
come by that honestly,
in
right?
The face of the councillors. It will intimidate the councillors. They will say, we are not experts. Who are we to take on the mighty Health Canada bureaucracy or even refute the words of our doctors, local doctors? Now, that's why this broadcast, in my view, is very important, because you are based in a university. And we would hope that university students and university professors who pride themselves, I hope, on their objective assessment of scientific data, would jump in and say, we've read this Health Canada report, we've heard the criticisms, and it's our independent judgment that the public is being fooled here. And they don't have to do very much. Let me give you one specific example. In their preliminary report of 2009, Health Canada discussed the impact of fluoride on IQ. Not very much, about two pages. They reviewed five IQ studies, five studies which showed a lowering of IQ in different countries. I wrote into them in 2009 and explained to them there weren't just five IQ studies. There were, in fact, 23 IQ studies, and I gave them access to the references for the other 18 studies. Now, when Health Canada produced its report in 2011, June of 2011, guess what? They only still reviewed five IQ studies and ignored the other 18. They made no reference whatsoever to my commentary. They put none of the studies that I referred to in their references. And this is just totally unacceptable. What they might have done if they were scientifically legitimate and intellectually honest would have said, we have looked at these other 18 studies, and quite frankly, they're crap. And that's but we've listing them so that people can make their own independent scientific judgment as to whether they're crap or not. But they didn't do that. They completely ignored my input.
And what
so
about
you don't
Dr.
Have to be a rocket scientist. Mm-hmm. You only have to know the difference between 5 and 23 to know that Health
That's
Canada...
That's huge.
And Dr. Thiessen and yourself and others, you've all submitted that, and not just on the IQ issue, but on the thyroid issue and on
Absolutely.
Osteosarcoma, and they ignored all that research as well.
Absolutely. They ignored practically everything. And the quickest way that I found of seeing that they've ignored practically anything, that there are now computer programs which allow you to compare documents. And I simply got somebody to compare the references for the 2009 report and their references for the 2011 report, bearing in mind that between us, those who put in comments had submitted hundreds of studies, references to studies. There's practically no difference.
And that's 2 years, Paul. This is a span of 2 years that has taken place between the time they opened the floor to public submissions and the time that the report was actually published.
Yes, that's right.
And I believe if the average person knew this, it shakes down the very premise of what they've been made to believe all of their lives, even as a nurse for 37 years. And to be able to hear the reality, the proven reality of what is going on behind closed doors, we need to take our power back. We have to have a voice. How do we get to be heard?
Well, this is it. And I think, let me hasten to add that I don't think that fluoridation is necessarily the most important threat to public health at this point. I can think of other issues, but this is the easiest one to end. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have the political will, you can end this tomorrow. You
turn just off the
turn
tap.
Off, mm-hmm. Turn off the tap. It's mm-hmm. over. It's finished. So that's what makes this so frustrating. To get that political will, we need millions of people, many, many people informed, and then many, many people organized.
Now, you mentioned...
And that's why the university is very important. We need some independent voices with scientific credentials supporting what we're saying, because the really serious, I say this, not the most serious threat to human health at this moment. I think obesity is probably number one, and the great misuse of vaccinations is probably another. But right now, what this represents is a betrayal of the public's trust. And when you lose the public's trust, it's not easy to get it back. And if you lose the public's trust in public health, in the agencies which are there to protect our health, to protect the environment, there is going to be a huge price to pay. You're launching society down a slippery slope of voodoo health remedies. If they don't trust public, if they don't trust Health Canada, who else in the Canadian government are they going to trust? Mm-hmm. Who are they going to trust? It just makes people so vulnerable.
Blind
and,
faith.
And to separate honest science and ignore the input of independent, and I'm going to say it because I know myself, honest scientists, is very, very frightening to me. If you don't have honesty in science, you have no science. And if you don't have science that people can trust, then your public health policies are going to be rubbish.
Now, we have a very important person here in London, Ontario, a very important citizen, Nicole Kuzmanovich, who joined us on a radio show last week. And Nicole and her husband, Mike, have personally met with our mayor, Joe Fontana, in and around this issue. And Nicole last week reported that, Mr. Fontana just didn't know that the fluoride that's been added to our city water is actually a toxic waste product. And he is seriously looking at the precautionary principle as it applies to fluoride. He doesn't want to see anybody be hurt from this product. And so there's some genuine interest there that I hope we can get through to our mayor on educating him more about the dangers of fluoride.
Well, thank you, Nikki, because that's a little bit of a turn from what we last heard his stand was, and that's putting all the faith, once again, blind faith in our system and our public health group.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's very important that Nicole is doing what she's doing and other citizens are doing what they did. And the 400-plus citizens who turned out for the public talk I gave in London, Ontario, I thought we were really making progress that night a few months ago. But, again, evil triumphs when enough good men do nothing. And in this case, again, I go back to the university. You've got professors there. You've got students there who presumably pride themselves on their good science, on their ability to read the literature, to make objective judgments on the data. I urge them not to stand by and let this issue just become an emotional fracas between those who believe in fluoridation and those who don't believe in fluoridation. All of those beliefs are strongly held, and good luck to them. That's the democratic process. But we need some intellectual rigor in here to stand up to the muscle that Health Canada will wield, along with the professional bodies like the Ontario Dental Association and the Ontario Medical Association, none of which are on top of the literature. I say that with confidence. I've heard these people. I've seen them in action. I've seen what they've read, and they're like little clockwork toys just churning out the mantra. Fluoridation is safe and effective. Fluoridation is safe and effective. And this will continue until we have the tipping point in the intellectual and scientific and medical communities of independent people to blow the whistle on this.
Now, some communities, though, have come forward. Let's put, who are they? And they're close to town.
They are gutsy people. There are people like the citizens and council. The council in Calgary voted it out. They said, we don't know enough about the science to impose this on people that don't want it. We don't feel we could deprive them of their informed consent. And they didn't go very far on the science, but they used one argument, which is very strong, and that is once you put fluoride in the water, you can't control the concentration. And you can't control who gets it. So you're violating every principle of modern medicine that you can think of. You're violating the individual's right to informed consent. You're violating the absolute necessity of being able to control the dose of any medicine you give people. And you absolutely violate the notion that one drug cannot be given to everybody. Throw in the fact that there is no health agency in Canada or any other fluoridating country that is seriously monitoring our exposure to fluoride from all sources or the side effects that fluoride may be causing. They're just simply not doing the studies.
But how many communities, Dr. Conard, have been pulled out from fluoridation?
Ab- ab- about 200. You can find a complete listing of all the communities that have either rejected or stopped fluoridation since about 1990. And that list is growing, and it's growing by the day. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, Saskatoon stopped fluoridating. Fairbanks, Alaska stopped fluoridating. As you well know, I'm sure, Waterloo last October voted it out in a referendum.
So what is happening with London, Ontario, when the IQs are yet to increase in those communities from lack of fluoride? And why are we sitting so conservatively ingrained in that, as you say, it almost like a priesthood of following what the priest is saying?
Well, it is. The priesthood is a good selection of words because it takes us back to the times of Galileo's dispute with the Pope. The Galileo saw things through his telescope, and the Pope says, get on your knees, you haven't done that, you haven't seen anything. So it was a complete conflict between faith, reason, belief systems, and scientific observation. And that was resolved in Galileo's favor. But we've gone back now to a belief system. The Health Canada and the health bodies, professional bodies and so on, have a belief that fluoridation is safe and effective, and they just don't have what it takes to admit that they were wrong. They work backwards.
Now, Dr. Connett, you have a gripe against Dr. Peter Cooney. A lot of people have a gripe against Dr. Peter Cooney as the chief dental officer of Canada, who claims he has claimed publicly that he wears two hats. In other words, there's a clear conflict of interest with his position with the federal government.
Absolutely. On two fronts, there's a clear conflict of interest on mercury amalgams. He was at a recent international conference organized by the United Nations to discuss the phase-out of mercury. And he was there giving the position of the FDI, the World Dental Federation, which has many sponsors of their organization are, in fact, companies that make mercury amalgams and sell fluoridated products. And also, he has another conflict of interest when he promotes fluoridation in Canada. Is he representing the science of the issue, or is he representing the, if you like, the political position, the economic position of the fluoride, the World Dental Federation that wants to keep selling its fluoridated products everywhere?
So he's a lobbyist. You're saying he's a lobbyist.
He's a lobbyist, and then that's fine. You know, there's plenty of room for lobbyists in a free society, but he shouldn't pose as an objective bureaucrat. You know, bureaucrats should not be spinning the data. Bureaucrats should not be promoting policies. They should be giving both sides of controversial issues objectively to the decision maker, not making up the decision maker's mind for them with one-sided analysis. And I remember, this is very funny, actually, and it was stated on April the 1st, 2008, and I was in the room where Peter Cooney said it. He said, I walked down your high street today. This was Dryden, Ontario, which incidentally a few weeks later voted fluoridation out. He says, I walked down your high street today and I didn't see anybody growing horns, and you've been fluoridated for 40 years. Now, as I say, that is very humorous, but quite frankly, it doesn't say very much for Canada's research program on the health effects of fluoride, if what it amounts to is to go down high streets and see if people are growing horns. This is ridiculous. Now, more serious than that is that we believe that Peter Cooney was the mastermind behind the selection of the six experts that essentially gave a rubber stamp to fluoridation as far as the science of health effects are concerned. And those six experts, and I'm sure Gilles Parent from Quebec, I didn't hear his comments, but I do know his position. Those six experts were not independent. Four of them were dentists, which, you know, there are other tissues in the body other than teeth. So to resolve this issue on what is good or bad for teeth is missing the point as far as brain damage, bone damage, damage to the kidney, damage to the endocrine system, and so on. So you had four dentists on the panel. Making it worse, three of them were known to be pro-fluoridation. Two of them avidly, Chris Clark from Columbia University, who debated Hardy Lineback in British Columbia, Kamloops, British Columbia, lost the debate, and then proceeded to try to get the university to take sanctions out on Hardy Lineback because he had the temerity to speak the truth about fluoridation. And then you have Jay Kumar from New York State Department of Health, who's one of the most avid promoters of fluoridation in the United States. And if you need to really understand how Health Canada deliberately missed the opportunity to get a truly objective view of the health concerns, on that panel, you had 12 people. Two of them was Dr. Hardy Lineback from Toronto, who was the former president of the Canadian Association of Dental Research, teaches at the University of Toronto, has his own dental process, and as I said, was one of the reviewers of the National Research Council report, major study from 2006, 500 pages, 1,100 references, major report. Also on there was Jay Kumar, a well-known avid promoter of fluoridation. If they wanted to demonstrate that they were objective, they would have had both Kumar and Lineback on that panel. Both had been on this review, which had taken 3.5 years, as I said, 500 pages, 1,100 references, really on top of the issue and representing the two poles of the controversy, one for, one against. That way, Health Canada may have had a chance, a reasonable chance, of getting both sides of the issue represented in this document. But they didn't want to do that, obviously. And as I say, I believe that Peter Cooney was the mastermind behind that. We need our MPs. We need Sylvia Matheson and others.
We've been in communication with Irene Matheson.
Irene
Matheson, who's an NDP MP here in London, Ontario. Now, she was receptive to listening to us. And I know, Dr. Connett, you were gracious enough to offer to come to Ottawa to meet with Irene and Jack Layton. There has been no follow-up to that as of yet, has there?
Well, I sent them the documents. I gave them chapter and verse on what I've said to you today, the handpicking of those six experts to arrive at a preordained conclusion for Health Canada. I presented them with the first draft, the 2009 statement on the IQ studies, my intervention, and then the final statement, which clearly showed no response to what I had submitted, etc. So they have all those documents now in front of them. Mm-hmm. And yes, I live only 75 minutes from Ottawa, and I'm prepared at any time to go up to Ottawa and talk to any MPs, any bureaucrats on this issue.
Pam, don't you think we have to go to the top?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
our
definitely.
Prime Minister Harper, we just had an election. Mm-hmm. They are in there.
What mystifies me, though, Dr. Connett, is that the MPs, that the federal officials, we've been announcing this information now for well over a week, that they should be knocking down your door, Dr. Connett. If they were really truly working in our interests, they would be knocking down your door asking you what happened with this report.
Well, clearly they're not.
Not only myself, but Hardy Lineback, Gilles Perron, Kathleen Thiessen, and others are getting some independent scientific research. Look, I don't expect Mr. Harper to say, I don't trust Health Canada, my health agency. He's probably going to say, this is the agency that we have in place to make judgments like this, and I defer to them. This is probably what he's going to say. So you can't expect him to make a judgment on the scientific issues. What you can, I think, ask Mr. Harper is to have a committee to look at the way that 6-membered panel was selected and to investigate the charges that Health Canada completely blew off public input on this report.
And what I was thinking more of, Dr. Connett, is you have been brilliant with your efforts in leading this whole shakedown, if you want to call it that. But we need our own muscle, and the muscle comes from the people that are middle class, hardworking individuals that put these people in power, that support this mindset. And we've got to shake that down one person at a time. And I think the message to Harper and the message to our MPs is going to start on a local level, right, Pam? Oh, what can we do?
Well, and this is the thing. This is why we're so grateful to local activists like Nicole Kuzmanovich and her husband, Mike. I mean, we need to talk to Joe Fontana. We need to talk to Irene Matheson. We need to talk to our local MPs and say we're very concerned about the lack of democracy that was demonstrated with regards to the publication of this report from Health Canada. We need to do more thorough investigation with regards to the safety and efficacy of fluoride. And that's just not been done up until now.
And to keep it clear, it's not about a financial issue. It's about our health, the health of our children moving forward. Absolutely. So we are ready to kind of wrap up with a call to action. Here we are at CHRW in the heart of London. Absolutely. You know, proponents of that scientific learning and education, as you said, Dr. Connett, a call to action for them to come forward and kind of make the system accountable.
Now, Dr. Connett, you really just want a full retraction of this report.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Full retraction. Go back to square one. Set up a truly independent panel. And because they will probably spin that out for years, I think what we should say is until that independent report is done, we need a moratorium on fluoridation.
We need to apply the precautionary principle, in other words.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
We shouldn't have any more children having being at risk for lowered IQ or getting osteosarcoma. Whatever the strength or weaknesses of those, that science, it's peer-reviewed and it's published and it's out there. We should not be taking risk, especially when the evidence that swallowing fluoride actually reduces tooth decay is actually weaker than the studies which indicate harm.
And Dr. Connett, we can get everyone to get your book. You're the author of The Case Against Fluoride. Let's get educated. Let's get moving on this. And let's take a look at down the highway here, Waterloo, Ontario, that became fluoride-free, voted it out. What's the difference in our communities? We have to really bring it forward. I have to thank you for being on the show. It was brilliant. CHRWradio.com/archive. And this can be sent as a link on the blog to anyone, and I say let's do it. Let's make a real call to action. Share this information and this concise bit of knowledge that we've been able to put forward on Body, Mind, Spirit. Pam, thank you for being a co-host. Is there anything you want to add in the midnight hour here?
No, I just think people should visit Dr. Connett's website, fluoridealert.org. They should all see his 30-minute video, professional perspectives, and educate themselves. Do not take Health Canada's word as gospel.
Thank you all, and listen. You have to listen. We've got to make change. Freedom to choose, freedom to change. Let's do it, London. Fluoride free. Talk to you next week on Body, Mind, Spirit, 94.9 FM.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Wow.